Today on Real Life Radio.
If a man does not provide for his own home, he's worse than an unbeliever. We've become so accustomed to the government taking care of us that we have forgotten God. God doesn't like that. That's why the government will soon not be able to take care of you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? When you just can't take it anymore, does that sound familiar? Well, my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 1. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, can. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how in difficult times, God has promised to provide for us. You see, God has proven himself time and time again to be faithful. We really don't have to worry about what's going to happen next. We just have to make sure that we're prepared for it. So today, we'll hear Pastor Jack teach that God will always do what he's promised. And this is what makes us able to continue in challenging times. It's in his strength that we can be responsible for what he's given us. Now with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Don't you love that story, by the way, when Jesus send them away. Can you imagine? Jesus, your church is getting too big. Will you send some people away? They're hungry. And Jesus turns to the disciples. Don't you, I would have loved to have seen their face. Can you imagine this? Can you guys hear me? Jesus says, why don't you guys, the 12 of you, you feed them. There's only about, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people here in total because the Bible records 5,000 men. What if they had their wives and kids with them? Could have been 10, could have been 12,000 people. Jesus says, yeah, they are pretty pooped out, aren't they? And it is late in the day. This sundial's saying it's going to get dark soon. Why don't you feed them? Oh my goodness. You know what was happening? You can see him taking the training wheels right off the ministry cart. You want us to feed them? We ain't got nothing. There's one little boy over here who's got a Happy Meal. A couple of fish and some bread? And Jesus showed them something that's impossible. You guys, Jesus is still doing impossible stuff. But as long as you and I are sticking our chest out and trying to pull it off on our own, don't get me wrong, we're to be responsible. But when we're not leaning on him, we're not going to see any bread or any fish be produced like that. But when we do lean on him, he's able, the Bible says, to open up the windows of heaven. Amen. And bless. He's called us to do the same. And watch this. Number one, money bag. What is he saying about that? I love this. By the way, if I had it my way, if I was a dictator of some seminary, I would go over this until the students were sick of hearing it. Number one, money bag. Jesus is saying, up until now, I've provided everything for you. And here's the deal. I'm going home. I'm going to get betrayed. That's in the process of the moment. I'm going to get beaten. My beard's going to get plucked out of my face, according to Isaiah chapter 50. According to Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, we'll study that next week in detail. Don't miss it. The gospel in the Old Testament. My back's going to be laid wide open. I'm going to be so beaten before I even get to the cross that I will be unrecognizable as a human being. I'll be a slab of ground meat that even Mel Gibson in the movie The Passion could not come close to portraying. And people, Isaiah said, when they God speaking of the moment, they will turn their faces away from me. A monster in appearance. And when I die, I will be in the ground, and on the third day, I'll be risen from the dead, and I'm going home. And I'm going to have you carry on this message that you're about to learn in the next few hours of this weekend. And he's taking the training wheels off the cart. It's awesome. And he says, you know what? Be responsible with money. Don't you think there's a big reason why churches are a mockery and ministries are a mockery when it comes to money? Satan would love to take every ministry and crash it right into the wall in this area of money. A, it's either overspent, and 50% of churches in America today are on the brink of bankruptcy. That's an insult. It makes God look bad, don't you think? To the world. Men are out of control and they spend more than what they have in ministry. Jesus says, be responsible regarding money, boys, because I'm not going to be around here to babysit you guys anymore. It's time for you to put your ministry pants on, the big ones, and you wear them. Money bag, be responsible. It's God's money. Here at Calvary Chapel, we call God's money tools. Just to keep our hearts right. How many tools would it cost to get this microphone? How many tools are that? And then a knapsack. Jesus is saying, I sent you out before and you went into homes and people opened up the door and you got to sleep there in the morning. They gave you some tea and some cheese or whatever they gave you, falafel and shawarma, and they sent you out. Now you need to take a sleeping bag with you. Because it's going to get hostile out there, which leads to the next thing, which people freak out about this. Cracks me up. Jesus says, sell your jacket and buy a sword. Some people have said that can't be in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. Jesus is saying you're going into a nutcase world and you need to defend yourself. You need to protect yourself. There's going to be people just out there to jump you. There's going to be people out there that are going to try to break into your home in the middle of the night to murder your children and to rape your wife. You need to defend yourself. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, listen to this. 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't want to write that down, then write it, then somebody, write it on somebody's hand or something. Just write it down somewhere. This is a verse hardly ever spoken of and greatly misunderstood. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for his own house, he has denied the faith and has become worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. You say, well, Pastor, these are hard times. Listen, I understand that. That's why I'm quoting this verse. Man, I'm unemployed. I'm doing the best I can. Listen, many people, unemployment in California is over 10%. Huge. Listen. Go. Get out that application everywhere. And then when you're done handing them out, then get to In-N-Out Burger and flip, not pancakes, but whatever they make there. Burgers. Do something. Do something. Provide. Don't sit there and just wait. Well, if God wants me to work, the phone will ring. You can't do that. The Bible says if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. This is serious talk, you guys, and you need to hear it. No, I'm never coming back to this church again. If a man does not provide for his own home, he's worse than an unbeliever. We've become so accustomed to the government taking care of us that we have forgotten God. God doesn't like that. That's why the government will soon not be able to take care of you. So we'll all look at God again. This is not going to win the most popular message in a series. I understand that. But my friend, listen. The Bible's eternal and it's global. And when a man in Africa reads that verse in 1 Timothy 5:8, that if a man does not provide for his home, he's worse than an unbeliever, that means in the middle of the night, if a lion is coming to his home, that man kills that lion. If that mother, and this is another reason why God hates divorce, a man is to give his life to provide for his home if necessary. But when there's no man in the house because he's like the mama bear now, she's got the baby cubs, she's taking care of all the little cubs at home. You ever try to mess with little cubs with a mama bear around? Let me lovingly tell you this. My wife's going to say, I can't believe you said that. She's in here right now somewhere. Now she's scared to death. When a woman comes to this church and it's on a weekly basis, sad to say, and she says, well, I just found out that my husband's sleeping with his secretary and he's leaving me for her. She's half his age. And I knew something was coming. He started wearing a gold chain around his neck and bought a red sports car, and I felt something was going on, and he's completely left me, completely abandoned me. I got these two little ones to raise up. And listen, the women's ministry, they do an amazing job, and they do an amazing job. Now she has to provide for the family. God says, you've denied the faith. God's faithful. Has he ever left us? Has he ever walked out on us?
No.
He will never. The Lord is faithful.
Amen.
Matthew 24:45, Jesus says, who then is a faithful steward, faithful servant of mine, whom when his master made him ruler over his household, to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom when his master returns, finds him so doing. Faithful. Listen to this, Psalm 50. This is great. Psalm 50, verse 10. God says this, listen. God says, every animal of the forest is mine. How cool is that? I got two little Yorkshire Terriers. God's got elk. And he's got moose. Whales and all that stuff's his. He says, the cattle on 1,000 Chino Hills are mine. I know every bird in the mountains, he says, and every creature of the field, it's mine. And if I were hungry, would I come and ask you? The world is mine and all that is in it. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. God is faithful.
Amen.
Hey, this is kind of off my notes real quick. But first service, let me back up. We've had a cat hanging around our house. I think it's a cat. It's not a kitten, and it's not a cat. I don't do cats, so listen, it's an in-between cat. And it's black, green eyes. Very affectionate, so much so that I was reading my Bible the other day and it got into the room, which is not our cat. We're trying to get rid of this thing. And it's driving our dogs nuts. And the cat gets up on the chair, goes behind my neck, and goes to sleep behind my neck. Like I'm wearing, well, you say aw, and I'm thinking, so now I'm sneezing, I'm allergic. So all this stuff's going on, and all I hear is okay. And then she stands, she's a little girl, she stands, she's looking in the house. Okay, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? So Lisa said this morning, you gotta announce it at the church somehow, work it into your message somehow. Somebody can have her, somebody can have her. And listen how good God is. I mentioned it, has no name. I mentioned it for service. And a woman, her cat has just died. She lives alone. She wanted another cat. But the last cat she had, his name was BC. Black Cat. That's what she said. I named him Black Cat, BC, because he's black. So what does God do? First service. I say, hey, you know what? We got this cat. You want the cat? The cat's going to come to second service at the beginning of second service. You can have the cat. God answered her prayers for her little, wanted another black kitty, and she took that cat home, and now she's home with that little cat. And you say, well, you know, that's a coincidence. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Mm-mm. My God says one little sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows about. God cares.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then listen to this, verse 37, it's also this, he does what he promises. And you guys, this is where we're going to leave off next week. It's point number two. We're going to pick this up next week, but I want you to check something out. In verse 37, we'll just kind of flirt with it for a moment. He says there, get your highlighter out, it is profound, for I say to you. That's the New Testament version of thus saith the Lord of the Old Testament. I say to you, that which is written, Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, must still be accomplished in me. You guys, listen, how radical that is. Disciples, you guys, come on. I'm not being rude right now, I'm being accurate. Joseph Smith could never have said this. Muhammad could never have said this. Buddha could never have said this. Jesus says, the Old Testament scriptures, all that's written concerning me, I want you boys to pay attention. You're going to be learning something in the next few hours. It's always been written. When you were growing up as little Jewish boys, and your father before you, and father before him, and father before him, and you just keep going. From the beginning, the scriptures have been given and they will be fulfilled. And Jesus says that which is written must still be accomplished in me. It's a declaration of deity. Jesus Christ is announcing the scriptures, as it says in Psalm 40 and the book of Hebrews, behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. The book, the Bible, is about Jesus Christ, your Savior, your God, your Redeemer. It's absolutely awesome. And he says, listen, and he's challenging you, by the way, this morning. If you're a skeptic, he's taking you on, head on. And he's saying, it's all written about me. Search history and find out. Search and see. And I don't care if you have to travel land and sea in your search, do it. I can say that boldly. I feel like saying it boldly. I was in Rome this week, standing in places where not only the Roman government on placards by the National Park Service of Italy and Rome, they're not only talking about the Caesar or about this particular Augustus or about this particular person, but they're citing portions of scripture from the New Testament and this from the Old Testament. And this is where Paul the Apostle spent his last night on earth, in the annals of Roman history. And when you go, have you been to the Colosseum? There's a cross there in the Colosseum as a tribute and a testament of those who gave their lives in the arena. And I tell you, all that stuff freaked me out and I got blown away when I came to the Arch of Titus. Do you remember in the Luke's gospel? I know I'm way over. I'm having a good time right now. You guys remember not too long ago in Luke's gospel, we were just reading when Jesus says, I tell you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down from this temple. Do you remember in 70 AD, Titus, Vespasian's son, came into Rome with the 5th Roman legion and leveled Jerusalem, and the temple caught fire and they dismantled it because the gold flowed between the stones. I'm telling you Roman history right now. And they scraped off the gold, they took it back to Rome. And Vespasian, his dad, had started the building of the Colosseum, but they ran out of money until Titus came back from Rome. I mean, Jerusalem, entering Rome. And as he entered Rome and went through the Victor's Arch, guess what they were carrying? The gold menorah from the temple. And it's etched there at Titus's Arch in Rome. And it tells you right there in Roman history. And I love it. Man, are you a doubter today? Are you a skeptic? The Roman record says this is the image of the emblems and the articles taken from the temple in 70 AD from General Titus. And it's done there in artwork, massive. And I knew that. I knew that a long time ago because of my Bible. My Bible told me that. And my God will be faithful. Amen. He's faithful. And I want to leave you with this. We are going to be looking next week into that amazing little statement, verse 37. Look at it. He was numbered with the transgressors. What on earth does he mean? Where did that come from? What is Jesus setting in motion? What is going on? We are going to enter into the Holy of Holies of the Old Testament. It's the gospel in the Old Testament. My friends, every Christian should know how to lead a Jewish person who won't read the New Testament, you know. Well, how do you lead a Jewish person to know Jesus as the Messiah? It's easy. Well, where do you go? Do you go to Matthew? No, they won't listen to him. Boy, do you go to the book of Ephesians? Won't listen to that. What do? Genesis to Malachi. The Jewish scriptures. How do you think the Jewish people recognized Jesus as Messiah back then? And Jesus is going to take the disciples and he's going to go to Isaiah 53, verse 12. And next week, we're going to unpack that. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to come pumped. And the reason, because of what he did for us, demands our total and absolute worship and love. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And while you're closing your eyes, I'm serious about what I'm saying. I want you to Twitter your friends next week and tell them to come. There may be friends that you have at other churches. I don't want them to leave their churches, but they might want to come in here the next couple of weeks. And then I want to say this. There's some of you here today that we may not see each other again in this church beginning next week. Our relationship may be over. What I mean by that is, I'm going to say something right now that is going to be so offensive and purely holy that the conviction that you experience in the next few seconds is going to be from the throne of God. How do I know? It's been well rehearsed. When we worship him, this one who has provided the very breath that we breathe, and we shortchange him on worship. We don't come on time because it's only worship. And when it's time to close in the message, we sing songs of worship and we don't want to worship him still. It is more important to us to get the grill of our car off of this property than to get our face on the ground and worship. We have sucked from God what we can. And right in the middle of what worship is to be, that love moment with your God, we walk out. We think it's the end of the show. And I want you to know that it has been an offense to God. He has convicted me for allowing it. If you walk out during worship, that's between you and God, and the heavens are witness today. But from this time on, you either come to worship him or find some place that doesn't care about worshiping him. You say, Pastor, do you realize how much money I give to this church? I don't know how much money you give to this church. I refuse to know that. I want to have a house, as God does, filled with worshipers. We're not playing church. He is awesome. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to love him. And think of it this way, and I mean it with all holiness. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear in London, England, Spurgeon said that prayer and worship is intercourse with God. I don't want anyone interrupting. Think about it. I don't want anyone interrupting my most personal time. We have come together. Let us worship him now in spirit and in truth. And if you can handle that, I'll see you next week. God bless you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this series is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, no matter what you're facing these days, God is there in the bad times as well as the good times. But when life suddenly takes a turn for the worst, you know God's there, but you still might be wondering if he really cares. We get this idea stuck in our heads that God has more important things to do than to help us with our problems. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We can rest in God's strength, and He's always nearer to us than we'll ever know. So if that sounds like you, our current featured resource is going to help and encourage you to gain a new outlook on life. It's called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's written by Ed Heinzen. It's a resource packed with biblical truths on how to face a crisis with confidence and turn problems into opportunities. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's a must read if you want to conquer your anxiety, your disappointment, or even feelings of guilt and failure. And we've made this book available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.